Now, more of That Is Good to Know. Continuing with today's program, here's Jeff Stanislow.
Hey, Tampa, welcome back to That Is Good to Know. We are doing a second segment here talking about AI. We're actually getting under the hood of an AI platform called Raver, raver.ai. Our special guest, Nuke Goldstein, is the founder. And, you know, we're talking and sharing some, you know, some battle scars. You know, what does it take to build something off this, on, well, from an idea to bootstrap to development to, you know, what the tool does. You know, one of the things that, you know, they're trying to do something is make something simple is very, very difficult to do. And, you know, provide an opportunity for people you know, have something that works using this wonderful technology. Raver.ai is a MarTech platform that helps people with their social media and content and building AI images and AI content, and easily integrates and posts to their social medias. Nuke Goldstein, thanks for joining us on this second half of the show to find out more.
Hey, my pleasure. Thanks, sir.
So we left off, like, in recapping, folks can, you know, sign up for the program at raver.ai. They get free credits to work with, and you're offering a special promo code. I believe you said it was Raver24, Raver24, where you're going to double their credits for coming in, which is great, so they can play with the tool. And once they're in, you were saying they just simply create a campaign. And then they add a post, and I'll let you kind of take the walk someone through, you know, using Raver.ai for their business from here.
Yeah, so Raver is campaign oriented. So when I say campaign, basically one of our tasks is to do a one-off campaign for a month, let's say. This is how we do it, right, internally. Every end of the month, we sit down. We build a few campaigns. Now, a campaign is a set of posts. Let's say you can do 10, 20, 100 posts and just schedule them to be posted over the next period of time, whatever you want. In order to do that, you need to link your Facebook pages and your Instagram, or also, if you prefer, the X, Twitter. We will add more platforms as we go, but these are the three that we support right now. Once you link those platforms and you build your campaign, each campaign contains several posts. As I said, a post is text and image. To create a post is very easy. You just add post and the machine immediately gives you the text for that post. And also you can add an image. You can generate image. It takes a couple of minutes and you get four images. You can generate as many as you want. And once you select the image, the post is ready, and you can schedule when it will be posted and on what platform. So as I said, we do it ourselves. That's how we promote Raver, and we're getting amazing traction so far. And everyone can do it. And these credits that you get are used to post. So if you sign up with this promo code, Raver24, you get 20 credits, that's 20 different postings. So plenty of runway to test if this is right for you. And I think once people start using it, they will not just enjoy it, but find it very, very beneficial for their business and brand exposure. And I really hope more people will discover how Raver can help their business.
Yeah, so it's really interesting. You know, I've used Hootsuite, I've used other applications, and the learning curve is pretty tremendous. I mean, you know, they have onboarding processes, they have support teams, and they have they keep on adding new releases, and on top of these new releases comes new tool sets and things of that nature. And in my experience using Raver and Raver.ai, is I didn't need any of that, to be honest with you. I mean, I have some skills, I have some understanding, but I could see where someone who is, you know, knows how to maybe, you know, do a post in Facebook and do a couple things here and there, but a small business owner, or even a small agency, you know, that works with SMBs could very easily, you know, figure out how to use Raver. And I know one of the cores that you're trying to do is the less help that you have to provide, the better the application is. This is Jeff Stanislaw, your host of That Is Good to Know, www.thatisgoodtoknow.com. We're talking with Newt Goldstein, the founder of Raver.ai, and we're going to go back into the trenches. We spent a little bit talking about, you know, starting the company, ideas. We talked a little bit about Raver and what it is. You know, Nuke was kind enough to share a promo code so people can try it and get extra sign up credits to the full feature, and that's Raver 24. And now I want to kind of go back into the development and the building phase. So Nuke, what was one of the biggest challenges that you came across in building out Raver?
Building software is not easy and it's not cheap. Right? You need a team of people. If you want to do it right, I mean, there's two ways to do it. There's to do it scrappy in your basement, but these days are over. You know, when I was a kid, let me put it this way. When I was a kid, when I saw a video game, I could go to my computer and say, I can write that video game. And I did. I actually managed to copy as a kid, as a, you know, I was a teenager. And I was copying video games that I saw in life and write them for fun. These days are over. You look at the video game right now, it's a production where thousands of people and hundreds of millions of dollars are used to build a video game these days, a AAA quality video game. No one in his basement can even dream of doing something like that. So it's the same for a startup these days. It used to be that a startup like, you know, Apple could start in some basement in California, or a garage in California, with Steve Wozniak and Steve Jobs running around selling what Wozniak was building, and the first Apple was a, you know, had plywood and that kind of stuff. These days are over. Today, to build something that people appreciate, you need a professional team. You have a product manager, a designer. You need the software developers, you need the front-end guys, the ones who are building the user interfaces. You need back-end people, the people who build the smarts behind it. So that's one thing. So how do you do that early on? Well, you need some connections, you need some luck to find the right people and get everybody energized. The second thing is, the way we approach AI is that we use the best of breed right now. So when you look at the AI field, a lot of what happened in the last year and a half is building infrastructure for developers like me. OpenAI, for example, allows people to build on top of GPT or ChatGPT, right? Amazon is providing a lot of tools. So what we decided to do is, instead of trying to build something super expensive that you need to raise tens of millions of dollars for, we will use the best of what the market offers and kind of create an AI on top of AIs. Meaning, I call it a conductor. It's like a conductor of a symphony, right? So you got the best tools out there doing certain things, and then you have a system on top of all of that, kind of orchestrating everything. And I think this is what the future of AI development is going to be, because, again, Microsoft and Google and all these, Amazon, all these companies are investing hundreds of billions of dollars in this infrastructure. This is like the next cloud.
I mean, okay? Nuke, when you say that, and you talk about, I guess, you know, what is the founding technology of artificial intelligence? You know, computers using massive amounts of computer powers, machine learning language, or, you know, the computers have to learn. So that's why they use massive amounts. And then they have to be able to do something with that information. And the big the big technologists, you know, it's usually a rule of three in industry, right? You know, the biggest three players are going to own, you know, 80, 90% of the market share. Is that going to happen in AI? And are people just, you know, are they, is it just going to be to the point where someone, it'll be a significant challenge? Like if someone wanted to create a new Google, you know what I mean? It would be a massive undertaking. And a lot of this technologies, do you think it'll be more where, you know, other companies will layer, like, you know, layer their services on top of, you know, these AIs that are owned and built by Google?
It's like anything in life, it's complicated, right? But you can see right now where this is going. First of all, take a look at who controls AI right now. It's a lot of companies you never heard of before. OpenAI, Anthropic, these kind of companies. Exactly, DeepMind, yeah. DeepMind was bought by Google a while ago.
And that's what's going to happen, right? These AI startups that are doing these things will just kind of get gobbled up by these major players over time and integrated into their infrastructure because they have the cash to do that. Yeah, so we're back to that, you know, that 80, 90% of the market share owned by three or four major technology companies.
Absolutely. And that was why there was such a huge race in the last year and a half, because the big companies know that. They know that they need to establish and kind of hedge their positioning in the AI market. Microsoft is right now the best player in this because they're hedging themselves in every other way. They invested billions in OpenAI, but they're also investing billions in their own thing. So they have like three or four different ways to control the future, and they introduce new technologies. Some of it is tested. You know, they don't know if it will work or not, but they're hedging themselves in whatever the future will bring. Microsoft will be after. Google is trying to do the same. Apple just had their worldwide developer conference, and they showed their kind of a view on AI.
There was a lot of controversy on that, wasn't there, Nuke? We're talking with Nuke Goldstein, the founder of Raver.ai, a technologist specialist, you know, been building technology since he was born, he said. So, but anyways, there, you know, just quickly on the Apple, and there was a lot of controversy around that because they selected OpenAI, and, you know, a lot of people were concerned about security breaches and things of that nature. Any insight on that?
Yeah, so let me just recap what happened. So Apple has another perspective on where AI is going. Their view on AI is driven by their closed garden, as they call it, where the AI is integrated to every tool and everything you do on your iPhone and iPad and other Apple technologies, which is a very interesting advantage and a very good advantage because then you can provide a holistic assistant on all your applications and devices. However, because they're so strict with the privacy, a lot of this is done on the devices themselves or on the Google Cloud in a very private way. On the Apple Cloud. But Apple is, they won't admit it, but they're a little bit behind on the AI race. It's hard to know with Apple, right? They're very strict about the privacy and security of their own stuff and what they're working on. But it seems like they're behind. And what their system will do is in some cases where, you know, another AI is needed, their AI will basically use OpenAI, ChatGPT, or whatever integration would be called, to ask questions. The controversy said, you know, hey, you know, you keep selling us that privacy is the number one thing and you won't share any of my information. Now you're telling me this goes to OpenAI, which is kind of like people are saying it's not very private, not very, privacy is not one of the most important things in their mind. So how does that correlate? And you know, they keep coming up with explanations. I don't think there is a better solution, to be honest. I think that AIs will talk with AIs. Whatever the solution for privacy is, I don't know right now, because AI is basically just the accumulation of data and processing of data into something that is, that the machine can use. If it cannot learn, it will not be smart or smarter. So Apple did what they had to do. Otherwise, they will fall behind. And that's part of our future.
Yeah. Nuke Goldstein, founder of Raver.ai, talking a little bit about under the hood of building Raver.ai. Also just, kind of learning more about, the AI space and building and doing something in AI. This is Jeff Stanislow, your host of That Is Good to Know. Thank you, Tampa, for joining us. Check us out, www.thatisgoodtoknow.com for all of our episodes. And if you'd like to join in, maybe be on the show, you can reach us out there as well. Plus, you can check out all the previous episodes that we've done for you. I think we've got almost 35 or 40 in the bank. Check them out. Anyways, back to Nuke. You mentioned, Apple and what they're doing and their kind of closed garden infrastructure. It'll give them a little bit more controls, but, it's going to probably take a little bit longer for them to kind of, move ahead, because they do have that. And, we're in the wild, wild west of the race for AI. Let's just talk a little bit about AI and industries. Where do you think, most people will see AI disruption, in what they do in their everyday lives?
Yeah, so it's funny thing. You said Apple will move slowly. Actually, what Apple has just done was the first time to introduce AI to the masses, right? So everybody who has an iPhone, everybody who has an iPad will now, you have to have the new hardware, but that's probably another few months, a year. But we now have an AI basically integrated into everything they do. And that's the first step. We are going to see, we just discovered intelligence, right? Some people claim, some scientists claim that intelligence is an emergent property in nature. And we just stumbled on it with these large language models. We have just started. This is only, a year and a half in the making. What I see in the future is intelligence all around us. Personally, I think intelligence is a good thing. I think people will be emboldened and strengthened and be better and more productive. I think the GDP will rise in a way we never seen before, because productivity will be much better. I think we'll see intelligence in things that we cannot imagine that will be intelligent right now. Anything from a light switch to a light bulb will have some sort of intelligence behind it. In a more micro way, I think there's two types of artificial intelligence. There's the big one that sits on the cloud, the super smart intelligence who can operate a lot of things around the world, answer tough questions, answer scientific questions, maybe have some discoveries. We're already starting to see that. And then there's the small AIs, the models that sits inside your PC or your phone or your light switch. These are getting smarter as well. So you see more and more intelligence. The next phase, which is coming very, very soon, sooner than people realize, is robotics. Every one of us will, most of us will have in our household a humanoid robot in the next, 5 years? This household robot.
Yeah, they're for sale.
Less than a car.
They're for sale right now. Yeah. You can get a G2 robot dog for $4,000 with AI. So it's crazy how fast this is coming,
Yeah, these dogs were there for a while. I mean, that's kind of like a flat curve. But what happens behind the scenes is companies like Tesla and others are working on humanoids, like robots that look like us. They're more or less the same size as an adult human. And you have two progress lines in parallel. One is the technology, the robotics itself, the agility of the fingers, the sensors, all that is making significant improvements, as well as becoming cheaper and cheaper. There's a company that used to sell humanoids for about $150,000, and they just released a new price for the new model, and it's $16,000. So you can see the hardware are getting better, and the sensors are getting better. But then on top of that, like we talked before, there is the software, there's the intelligence. So Tesla is one of the ones that to look at. They're not the only ones, but a dozen or so companies building amazing technologies. But Tesla is interesting because their self-driving technology is based on the accumulation of knowledge of their cars. So each car is a sensor platform, basically sensing the world around them. And whenever you use a Tesla, Tesla, the company, learns how to drive. And that's how artificial intelligence works. They want to do the same for humanoid robots. So let's jump ahead 5 years. Every household will have a robot or two. They will clean the house. They will do the dishes. They will do babysitting. They will do security, whatever you want them to do. It's like a humanoid, and they'll talk like us. They won't look like us. I don't believe that we look like complete humans. I'm more like a C-3PO kind of a situation. But maybe a little more modern.
That's a good analysis. Yeah. The CP3O, George Lucas had a vision, and it's actually going to come to your home sometime in the next 5 to 10 years.
Yeah.
This is Newt Goldstein, the founder of Raver.ai, sharing some wonderful things about AI technology, sharing some information about Raver.ai itself, also providing a promo code if you want to check it out, Raver24, when you sign up at Raver.ai. Also, you know, one thing, if you want to check out some of these robotics, there's a website called sanctuary.ai. It's just worth checking out and seeing what these things can do. It's a company that builds AI-enabled robotics. Nuke, we got about a minute. Yeah. We got about a minute left, and I just kind of wanted to, on your thoughts, one thing that I think is different with AI is that we haven't really had to do as much now is everything seems to be more seamless, right? We had the advent of computers. You had to go get a computer. We had the advent of the internet. You had to get connectivity. We had the advent of applications. You had to get each application that was siloed. But now all these things are going to be connected and AI is just going to be powering. It's not like you have to go to AI.app and download it to get AI. It's just going to be powering everything that we're doing. Would you concur? We got about a minute.
Yeah. Absolutely. AI will be behind the scenes. Your life will be surrounded by intelligence. But in many cases, you wouldn't know it. And even if you know it, you wouldn't think twice about it. In the case of Raver, for example, when you own a business, you're going to have an AI doing your legal work, an accounting work, an inventory, whatever you need it. For each task that you have right now, you'll have an artificial employee. One of these employees will be Raver, which will do your marketing. That's the future. Once you have that and the friction is minimal, you wouldn't even think about it. You'd just be more productive. You have more free time. You'll be focused on the service or products. Yeah, and I think life will be good.
You can work on your business and not in your business. Nuke, I'd love to have you talk about job interruptions and, what's this going to happen to us and how we can take advantage of it. Because being creative, have you come back. Nuke Goldstein, Raver.ai. This is your host, Jeff Stanislow from That Is Good to Know. Tampa, thanks for spending some time with us. Have a wonderful weekend.